Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Our thanks to Brian and the worship team for leading us beautifully this morning in worship on our harvest service. And good morning to you all. So good to see you. Good to see so many of you here this morning giving praise and honor and worship to our great God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. But now, Lord, we recognize that we need to hear from you. We need to feast on your word. We need you, Lord, to speak to each and every one of us today through your holy word. So, Lord, as we come now to hear from you, would you give me the boldness as your servant preacher to make known the mystery of your gospel, to proclaim your unsearchable riches. And when it's all said and done, we pray that your name will be glorified. And may we leave this place today knowing more about you, feeling challenged and inspired and encouraged to go on and to run this Christian race. Speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you've heard today, we're nearing the end of our sermon series, the Church Growth Toolkit, and today, the question that we're lifting is simply, is our toolbox here at the church, is it compatible with a multi-generational church? So today the message is not really primarily about us, although it has a lot to do with us, but I want us to focus today, and when we leave, to be prayerful and be focused on the generations to come. The generations to come. I want to look at Psalm number 78 and then just a few verses from the book of Judges. Psalm 78 reads like this: My people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us, and we will not hide them from their descendants. Here it is. We will tell the next generation. What will we tell them? He says, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation, can we say the next generation? The next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. I would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And here's an interesting verse, a final verse from Psalm 78. It says, they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. And then Judges chapter 2, verse 7 says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. He died. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Friends, as we consider the changes and the ebbs and flows of our society over the many years, it can really leave us with a sense of sheer amazement. For example, I am old enough to remember my dad, when I was a little boy, having vinyl CD music. Who remembers vinyls? Big disc. And if you were to show that big vinyl disc to some of your children and grandchildren, they would look at you as if you were from a different planet. But here's the thing. What did the vinyl do? What was the purpose of the vinyl? Was to play music, right? So the purpose of the vinyl was music, but then vinyl changed to something else. Because what became popular was cassettes. Who remembers cassette tapes? Someone says, I still got them. Same music, but just a different method. Same purpose to listen to music, but just in a different way. Cassette tapes. But then we got tired of cassette tapes because they became problematic. Because I remember certain times you'd be listening to your cassette tape, but then it would start to stutter. And then the tape would get caught. And sometimes you'd see that long tape just come out of the... It was a nightmare. So they came up with something different. They said, okay, we'll eliminate that. We'll change it to what's called CDs. Remember CDs? Same music, same purpose. To listen and to enjoy music, but the method changed over the years. But then we got tired of CDs. I know they're still around, but now they're becoming infrequent. People not really listening to CDs anymore. But then they came up, in my generation, MP3 players. Who knows about MP3 players? So now what you could do is download all of your favorite music onto the MP3, and then you could go about your business, you could listen your headphones and listen to all your favorite tunes and music. Didn't need the CD with you. Same music, different method. And then now they've changed it from MP3s. Even MP3s have gone out of date now. iPods have gone out of date now. And now they have what's called, everything is just gone digital. They have what's called Apple Music and Spotify. And you name it, where you can just get a whole catalog of music in the cloud. And you can listen to all of your favorite music. And you don't need no CDs, you don't need to carry anything. All you need is just to have your music on the cloud. And wherever you go, wherever you're in your car, you can connect it by Bluetooth. And you can listen to all of your favorite tunes and music. So much has changed throughout the years. And even in the church, the local church, and even specifically this church, for the 156 years that this church has been in existence, so much has changed. Was anyone here 156 years ago? Now, can you imagine if those precious saints of God who were here 156 years ago. Can you imagine if they were to come here and peruse our service today? I'm sure if we were to speak to them after the service, they would say, wow, so much has changed. What have you done with the place? Because change is inevitable. Whether we like it or not, seasons change, methods change, But there's one thing that should never, ever change. And that is the blessed word of God. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The message remains the same despite the seasons, the time, and the methods changing over the years. Now, I remember as a little boy looking forward to whenever my mum and dad would take me to the train station. I was always intrigued with the train stations. Whenever we would get on board the train and go into central London and look at all of the sights. But whenever I recall as a little boy, as we made our way to the train station, there would always be a massive sign that would be so clearly in place for all to see who attended the train station. And the sign simply says, "Mind the gap." Mind the gap. And as a kid, I could remember feeling a sense of intrigue as to why this sign was in place. Because for those of you here with children and grandchildren, you know full well that regardless of how clear a sign may be and how precise it may be, a child is always going to ask the question, why? Why is the sign there? Why? But of course we know that the sign, Mind the Gap, at train stations around the country, we understand that it serves an important purpose. It's a warning to passengers to ensure that when the train arrives at the platform, that passengers can be mindful and be very careful as they step onto the train. Mind the gap. It's a simple word of instruction that was deployed in the late 1960s. And are now strategically in place to warn and to protect passengers of potential dangers ahead. However, church, not only should we mind the gap at train stations, but even within the confinements of our local church, this local assembly to which all of us here are connected to, friends, I believe it's important for all of us here today to mind the gap. Mind the gap. Because I believe that just like potential dangers of missing your step at a train station as you board the train can come as a result of missing your step. But in like manner, if we are not careful of minding the gap and being very intentional to mind the gap of a potential missing and disconnected generation of young people and young adults who are coming through into the local church, who are developed and trained and ready to take on positions of leadership in the church. If we are not careful, friends, if we do not mind the gap, then the dangers ahead can be huge. And church, not only are denominations such as the Church of England asking the question, how do we connect with younger people, with younger adults, and assimilate them into the life of the church? And not only is our own denomination, the Baptist Union, creating specific national roles and initiatives to try and deal with the noticeable gap developing in local church congregations. And friends, with no offense intended, the statistics are clear that traditional churches are becoming older and older. And the question churches are asking all around the country is, where are the young ones? Where is the next generation? Where is the young adults? But not only are churches today in 2022 asking that question? But right here in Psalm 78, a psalm of Asaph. And if Asaph was here today, I believe he could take the mic and say, I know a thing or two about a lack of growth in younger generations. Because at the scene of our text, church, this ancient psalm, Asaph, who was a Levite assigned by King David to lead worship and to assemble the tabernacle choir, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And Asaph, who was a gifted singer with a great ability to sing praises to God and to lead people into worship. But what I love about Asaph is, although his responsibility was primarily to lead worship and praise, but Asaph here in Psalm 78 has a simple yet powerful message for Israel and for all the people of every generation. And the message is simply put, you guessed it, mind the gap. Mind the gap. I love Asaph here, church, because he's not just interested in the here and in the now, but Asaph was forward thinking. He was concerned about the next generation and also the generations after that. And church, I want to pause here and encourage us all that coming to church and being a part of the local church is not just about us, but we recognize the need and the importance to raise up future generations to embrace the love of God through Jesus for themselves. And not only that, not only to become converts to the Christian faith, but we also pray that they would become vibrant members of the church and take on responsibilities to take the church forward. And that's why I'm so grateful for our children's and youth work here at the church, and for the many years of investment that this church has made into the children and young people. Because God's word must be known from generation to generation. And as Asaph put it here in verse 6, he says, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. So my question today, what is our vision? Is our vision only solely based for one specific generation? Are we only concerned about the here and in the now, and we just leave the future to let it be? But are we prepared to seek the face of God and to recognize and understand and also to embrace the vision that God has for the church? That can be passed on, not just for us, but for generations to come, to prepare the next generation to be leaders and to be ambassadors of the faith. And church, I don't know about you, but I see SBC being a place with a strong representation from all generations. All generations worshiping God together, serving God together. Yes, different styles. Yes, different methods. But the message will remain the same. The message will never change. The message is simply that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We can't change that message. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We desire to see multi-generations well represented in this local church, actively involved in the ministry, serving God together. And yes, with different styles and approaches, But I believe that God is preparing us to work together and to understand the different nuances of the different generations. However, church, if we are going to see such a vision come to pass in the church, and if we are going to see what many describe as the greatest generation, that's those who are born between before 1928, coinciding and working together with the silent generation, that's those born between 1928 and 1945. And then the baby boomers, that's those born between 1946 and 1964. How many baby boomers here today? Yes. And then there's Generation X. That's those born between 1965 and 1980. Wave your hands if you're in that generation. Yes. And then the millennials. That's my generation. Born between 1981 to 1996. And this is one of the least attended generations in our local church and in many churches in the UK and even around the world. And then we have Generation Z. That's those born between 1997 to 2012. And then finally, Generation Alpha. That's those born between 2013 to the present. And those in that generation are enjoying their groups upstairs and downstairs. So how are we going to arrive at the point where all of these different generations can come together under one house, under one ministry, and gel together with all of the differences? And friends, can I tell you from the bottom of my heart, this is something that I am very passionate about. It's something that I shared with the deacons when I was interviewed. This is something that I feel a strong call to, multi-generational ministry. And one of the things that has really troubled me for many years now, and when I was young growing up in the church and many in my group left the church and they went to new expressions of church and new startup churches, and that's all great. I'm not criticizing those churches. They're great. I love it. Great. New churches, Hillsong, all the new expressions of church. Absolutely. As long as they promote the word of God and are true to it, I'm all for it. But one of the things that concerns me is if all the young people are leaving the traditional denominational churches and are seeing that those traditional churches that they can't assimilate with and be connected to, then what does the future hold for the mainline denominational churches? So we can't turn around and say, well, let the younger ones go to Hillsong, let them go to the new frontiers, let them go to the new expressions of church. If that's their choice, that's fine. But we can't turn around and say, well, we'll leave that to Hillsong, we'll leave that to the new expressions of church. But we've got to build in vision and ministry to touch their lives of that particular generation. Because if we don't mind the gap, if we don't invest in future generations, then what will happen to the local church here in Sittingbourne? And friends, if we're going to arrive at that place of multi-generational growth in this church, then I believe finally Asaph here in this psalm, and also in the book of Judges, they teach us 3 points that I want to briefly leave with you from the text. If we're going to mind the gap, if we're going to touch each generation, that regardless of how old or young you are, you can find a place here and you can belong and you can feel welcome and you can have opportunities to serve and to use your gifts. And Asaph lets us know that the first thing we have to do is recognize that God's word is nothing to hide. Can we say that together? God's word is nothing to hide. Look what Asaph says here in verse 4, he says, we will not hide them. Ah, I love this. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders that he has done. I love this from Asaph because he says, Israel, I don't want you to ever forget about the great illustrious history of Israel. I don't want you to forget, and I don't want younger generations to not be aware of all that God had done for Israel. Over their 1,800 years of history, from what started as just a promise to Abraham, in which for 400 years the people of Israel were called to rely on that very same promise. And even though they experienced moments of bondage and captivity by the Egyptians, God, in his timing, he delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. And then God established a covenant with Israel. And what Asaph is saying here, friends, is that every generation, even those who are not yet born, they should learn and understand the history of Israel. They should know about the great deeds and exploits that God had done in yesteryear. They should be familiar about Abraham. They should be familiar and understand the ministry of Isaac. And they should dig deeper, Brian, into the ministry of Jacob. And for us today, it's no different. But now we have the full picture. Not just Israel's history, but we have the full story of God's redemptive plan for humanity. And for the Church of Jesus Christ today, in like manner, we have to tell the next generations to come the full picture of God's story. We can't dilute the message, but we must tell them exactly as it is, that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. And in ways that younger generations can understand, yes, methods may change, but we have to keep on telling the same story of God's love. Maggie said something beautiful this morning in prayer. She said, although the wrapping may change, we may wrap the present up in a different way for different people of different generations, but the gift remains the same. The gift and the love of God through Jesus Christ remains the same, but you can spruce up the packaging however you like. But as long as the substance of God's word and the gospel message is loud and clear, and whatever we do with the methods, as long as the message remains the same. Because God's word is nothing to hide. We've got to keep on telling generations of God's love. Yes, in ways that they can understand. But secondly, we also see that God's word is more than historical facts. It's more than just a history lesson. It's more than just learning about the past deeds of God. In Judges chapter 2, we see that after that whole generation had been gathered up, the generation of Joshua and their ancestors, and then something sad happened. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord or what Joshua had done for Israel. How sad would it be if generations to come knew nothing about the Lord in Sittingbourne? How sad would it be if they knew nothing about the Word of God in Sittingbourne? How sad would it be that 20, 30 years from now, if the Lord should delay his return, that churches were closed. And there was no longer signpost in this town declaring the word of God to the generation. It's so sad that all of the great exploits of Israel and the great works of Joshua leading the people to conquest Canaan, but yet still another generation were raised up who knew nothing about the works of the Lord. And friends, we have to be so careful that we don't just stay stuck in yesteryear and in the historical facts and what God had done in the past, that we don't also embrace the fact that God is ready to do a great work now and in the future. So forthcoming generations not only need to hear the word, hear about the great works of yesteryear, but they must also seek to become doers of the word so that they can see great exploits of God in their generation. But third and finally, God's word is relevant to every generation. Can we say that together? God's word is relevant, yes, to every generation. I believe with all of my heart that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still more than relevant. That the word of God is still relevant for every generation. There's a little story of a little primary school girl in the early 80s who was sent by her parents to the local church holiday club. And one of the activities in the day was for the children to draw a picture of Jesus walking on the water. So the children were doing their best to draw Jesus walking on the water, depicting one of the great miracles in the Bible. And the little girl, she'd done a tremendous job, and in so much that she received a round of applause from her club mates. And as children like to do, she decided to take her picture home and was eagerly anticipating showing her 70-year-old grandmother the wonderful picture that she had designed. So as the little girl made her way home and she ran into the living room with sheer excitement to show off her picture to her grandmother, she said, "Look, Nanny, look, look what I did. All by myself. Do you like it?" And her grandmother said, "Oh, that looks lovely." But she noticed something underneath the picture. It was a short caption underneath the picture that simply said, "Jesus is wicked. Jesus is wicked." To which her grandmother scolded her and said, "How dare you, young lady? How dare you be so disrespectful and rude about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?" She said, the young girl replied, "No, Nanny, I don't mean that he's wicked as in a bad person." But what Grandma didn't understand is that in the 80s, there was a generation who had a certain slang to the word wicked. And they had taken on a whole new meaning of the word wicked. So now instead of wicked being used from the perspective of something evil and bad and untoward, but now people of that generation were using the word wicked to express something good. But Grandma didn't get the memo. And in like manner, church, we recognize that young people today, younger generations, they may use different words. They may have new approaches to old words. And oh yes, young people today, they may not even pray the same way that we pray. They may not even preach the same way that we're familiar with hearing preaching. They may go about things from a different perspective. But as long as Jesus is at the center, and as long as the Word of God is authoritative for all matters, then it doesn't matter if I, Nathan Gordon, who's really old-fashioned as a young man, who likes the King James Bible, doesn't matter if they don't want to read from the King James Version, doesn't matter if they use NIV or the Message, that's fine. It doesn't matter if, because Nathan prefers old hymns, it doesn't matter if they don't like old hymns, but they like the more newer songs. That's fine. As long as it's about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, I'm fine with it. No problem. Because we have to make room for multi-generations to come together and to facilitate a safe space where multi-generations can work together and express their love to God and their faith in Jesus in their own way. Because in closing, regardless of the changes in every generation and the different styles, the likes and dislikes, at the very core of the Christian faith, the gospel is still relevant. And it is relevant to every generation. And the Word of God will still continue to be relevant for every generation. Friends, as we draw this service to a close, I want you to hear me clearly from my heart, with all love and grace, that I truly believe that God is going to raise this church up to mind the gap, to see a new harvest of younger generations finding their home here. But the question for us is, how are we going to receive the generation? Are we going to be turned off because they have different approaches? Are we going to be upset because their methods are not the ones that we like? Are we going to moan and complain because they may praise and worship God in a style and in a way that we don't really particularly like? But are we going to be able to be a church that will say we're more concerned about the soul rather than the style? We're more concerned about the life rather than our own likes and dislikes. So you may come in with a different style, but there'll be room for you here. We'll make space for you here. And what I love about this church, they're a noisy bunch, aren't they? And that's great. Let them worship God how they want to worship God. And I say this before, and I understand, and this is what I know, that this is a challenge for us, and it's a challenge for me, because we all have our own likes and dislikes, and I get it. We all have our own likes and dislikes. Me too. I personally, you know me, I love old hymns. That's what I love. If it was up to me, we'd sing old hymns every week. But I know that that's not going to work. It's not going to work, and I wouldn't want us to do that. Because we have to make room and make space for different styles, different genres. That's important. But we can't get to the point where we say, oh, they're not singing it the way that we sing it, so I'm out of here. We've got to get to the place where we can say, okay, we'll be patient. Let's learn. Let's learn to work together. Brian may have a different way to me, but we're serving the same God. So let's work together. So one week it might be the way that Brian likes it. One week it may be a different week, but as long as Jesus is glorified, amen. Amen. And that's the vision. That's I'm praying that we will get to that place where, for the younger people, they may not preach in suits and ties. Do you know, I tell you this is true. I'm closing, but when I was younger, going to church, you know, former church and pastor and parents. My mum she's here today, and she would, Nathan, where's your tie? Where's your suit? You have to go to church. You can't go to church without a suit and tie. I've been, from a little boy, having to wear suits and ties to church. And I remember saying, I can't wait to go to a church where I don't have to wear a suit and tie anymore. But do you know something? Now I can make my own choice to what I wear, but sometimes I say, oh, I'm going to wear something casual, but I just don't feel right. Because it's ingrained in me. But for younger generations, they may not, that might not be their style. They're not going to come up here with suits and ties, but they may come in jeans and ripped t-shirts or whatever they like. But are we going to be upset and say, no, we don't want that here, that's not. But we've got to love them, embrace them, and allow SBC to become a place where regardless of your generation, regardless of your methods, your styles, as long as the word of God is central. Now, that's one thing we can't compromise. We won't compromise the word of God and the gospel. But if the message remains the same and the methods change, that's okay. That's okay. I'm done. I could go on all day about this. I'm done. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that the congregation members here really sense in their hearts that you're about to do something great. Because I feel it. I really do. But I believe that this season is a season of preparation for us. It's a season of journeying together to iron out some of the differences and the challenges before us. Lord, would you equip us as your local church here in Sittingbourne to be welcoming to every generation, to respect each other's differences, to love and respect each other's different methods and approaches, because we recognize that we're serving the same God. And just like for Asaph, who was concerned about a generation to come who would not know the works of God, Father, we pray in the here and the now and for the generations to come, even after us, that, Lord, that generations after us would continue to uphold the integrity of the word of God and to stand boldly on your word and to proclaim your gospel without shame or fear, and to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world. Help us, Lord, as a church, to come together, whatever generation we're a part of, to learn from each other's differences, because we recognize that we're serving the same God. And although methods change, seasons change, society changes, the world is ever changing, we thank you that you never change, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You never change, and we can trust in your consistency that you are steadfast and movable. So, Lord, as we look to the future, prepare us now. And Lord, we pray that you would send forth a harvest of souls from every generation. We don't just want to see young people, but older people too. Every generation must know the good news of Jesus. So we commit all of these things to you now. Continue to bless us as a congregation as we serve and work together for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.